Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, good morning. Here we go. Another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I am Teron Davenport, and we are here to bring you that daily information, the daily Eagles talk. I tell you what, I think today what we're going to talk about is just DeSean Jackson and the whole issue, everything that's going on, the rumors that are circulating of him having possible interest in coming back to Philadelphia. I think that's something we need to look at, and we'll look at a couple options. We'll get into a little bit of a draft talk. I'll give you three guys I think the Eagles really need to take a long, hard look at. So that's what we'll do for this show today. Obviously, DeSean Jackson, you saw what he did against the Eagles on Sunday. He was able to get 100 yards receiving and that big time catch, the 80 yarder. And I actually wrote about that on the Eagles wire. And he really showed that elite, that next level ability to track the football. He was a guy who had an opportunity to play center field at University of Cal. And anytime that you have that kind of opportunity, that definitely goes to show just how well you can track a ball, like your ball skills. It shows your ability to just, be able to find, whether it be the football or the baseball. I mean, there's not many things that are more difficult to do than make an over-the-shoulder catch of a baseball, or even like in this case, the way DeSean caught the football. So I think that's something to look at, and it's just a testament to his ability to play both games. And just like I said, the ball skills, they're so evident when you see him make a play like he did against Leodis McKelvin. And just the way that play happened, I mean, the guy's running upfield, he's expecting it on the post, and they threw it towards the outside, Kirk Cousins, that is, and not towards the outside, but it made him drift back away from the post, and he had to kind of track it and catch it with his hands at that last minute. And man, that was a really good catch. But nevertheless, DeSean Jackson is a guy that has shown some, well, I'm not going to say he's shown interest because you don't want to look at it that way, but he's definitely sparked the interest of a team, and not even the interest, the expectations of the Eagles to possibly go after him. And I think that's something that could end up happening. I thought it was interesting, some of his comments. You know, he was asked about the fans not booing him for the first time, and he was really happy about that. And it seemed like he was, as he was talking about some of the things that he accomplished, he was reflecting back on the times that he had here in Philadelphia with LeSean McCoy, you know, with Jeremy Maclin. You look at the team that they had assembled, and then you had Michael Vick in there. I mean, you had four guys that just could legitimately strike from anywhere on the field. And I think that those guys, they missed that. Obviously, McCoy and DeSean, they talk a lot. And actually, almost every day, DeSean said, and he said that they just think back to the days of when they were here in Philadelphia together very often. So that just lets you know that there is a degree of fondness about, revisiting that success here in Philadelphia. Obviously, McCoy is up there in Buffalo doing his thing. But at the same time, this is a team that could use a guy like DeSean. And DeSean would do an excellent job of stretching the field. I'm telling you, man, you talk to a defensive coordinator and about their game plan during the week. And, I mean, obviously guys don't really get into too much X and O's, you know, but they will tell you that the one thing that they hate to do is to give up the chunk plays. And coincidentally, DeSean specializes in making chunk plays, making big gains. And you saw it. I think his catch on the sideline was a really good one too, the way he was able to bang his toe at the last minute and, catch the ball and stay in bounds. But you see him specializing in doing things that defensive coordinators hate. So that's why you want a guy like that. But then even furthermore, you could also have an opportunity to get things opened up underneath for guys like, Zach Ertz, you know, Jordan Matthews. You see Matthews actually running a clear out a lot, and you got Dorial Green-Beckham running the deep crossing pattern, the dig underneath, and that's a route that Carson Wentz likes to throw. But, hey, how much better would it be if you could actually have a legitimate shot consistently to hit that stretch, that clear out route as well? I mean, that's something to look at, because that's what Deshaun gives you. He gives you the opportunity to beat defenders deep, and those decoy routes that are exactly that, decoy routes for a lot of other receivers, aren't that for him, because you know you have a shot at hitting a home run with him. So those are all things to consider. I really think that he is a guy that they should look into pursuing. He would come in and add a lot of credibility to the wide receiver core, as well as just give them another element to that offense. They don't have anybody who will push safeties back, you know, make the safeties line up deep against them in fear of getting beat deep. And obviously Treggs came in, and he was someone that, you know, was kind of a flash in the pan for them. I haven't really seen much from him. Unfortunately, the guy is not getting reps. I mean, he got 3 reps this past week. He got 2 reps the week before. He has all the speed that you want. So I'm curious what's going on there and how they're going to get him back in the mix. Nelson Aguilar had his man beat deep, but he got clotheslined, and, you know, he drew the pass interference. But nobody is like Deshaun when it comes to making the big plays. So he is absolutely a must to look at. And if Dan Snyder and the Redskins will allow him to leave, as far as not, you know, signing him to an extension or a new deal, which is something that I'm not sure Snyder won't allow to not happen. I think that he is someone that will be interested in maintaining Deshaun Jackson as a Washington Redskin. But we'll see how that works out. The Chiefs would be a good fit for him also. I heard LT say that, LaDainian Tomlinson, he said that last night on the NFL Network show. So that would be a really good fit for him, you know, and that would give him a chance to reunite with his guy, with Jeremy Maclin. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, obviously, he was closer with McCoy than he was with Maclin. So that being said, hey, you know, let him go to Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor, he'll throw that deep ball. And he and Sammy Watkins, that would be a nice matchup. Obviously, the Buffalo, they're a running team. But, hey, that's another option. So we'll have to see how that plays out in the offseason and see what teams are going to offer what. And I think that whole other team involvement will have a lot to do with the Eagles' chances of signing Deshaun Jackson. That's going to be a definite story throughout the offseason, as free agency starts rolling around. But another thing that's coming up is the draft, and the draft is obviously going to be here in Philadelphia, so we definitely have to look at that. And I think, there's 3 receivers. Actually, you know, there's a good 4 or 5 that I would definitely consider for the Eagles, but there are 3 that I think they absolutely need. And, I wrote about this on the Eagles Wire. I gave my top 10, it was actually 11, my big board of guys that the Eagles should consider. And obviously a good 4 of them were wide receivers. So just kicking things off, John Ross, I think, is really the major guy, especially if they can't get Deshaun Jackson. John Ross out of Washington, he's someone that has no fear going across the middle. He's a guy that will catch that ball, but he's someone that you could throw that, you know, those hammer routes to, the quick screens, and let him make something happen. And that way, he's someone you could also line up on the outside and just, hey, man, you know, I need you to beat your guy deep. Run by him. I don't care who's in front of you. Run by him. And he'll do that. He's a former sprinter. You know, he's a guy that is recovering from, well, not recovering, he's already recovered from 2 knee injuries. And that may draw concern to some. But nowadays with this technology and the way things are set up, you injure yourself, you come back even stronger. So I'm not going to buy into that part of it. But I will say that John Ross is an explosive player. And, oh, by the way, he just happens to be from Long Beach, just like Deshaun Jackson. They have a relationship, and a lot of people have made the comparison of Ross to DeSean Jackson. So, hey, look, man, if you can't get DeSean, get the next best thing. And I think that's an option for the Eagles. I think that John Ross should be the top target from the receiver side of things. Another guy that they have to look at, and again, we're going to get into three of them. Another guy that I would definitely recommend highly is Corey Davis. He's a guy that set the record, the NCAA record, I believe it was four receptions, but don't quote me on that. I have to double check, but put it this way. Every time you turned on one of his games, he was just really a man amongst boys. He could not be stopped. And he's a guy that could play all receiver positions. So you can line him up outside, you can line him up inside. He'll run that post route, that seam for you from the slot. And you put him outside, he can use his size. He has athletic, you know, professional athlete bloodlines. His brother, Austin, played for the Rams. And his dad was a baseball player. I believe it was the Texans, Rangers, and or not Texans, but the Astros, the Rangers, and another team that he played for. And I know he was in the he was a manager for a bit as well. So Gary Pettis is his name. But look at that. I'm confusing him with Dante Pettis out of Washington, who is on the opposite side of John Ross. So I take that back. Corey Davis's brother is Austin Davis, Titus Davis, who Titus played, I believe it was the Lions he played for. So scratch that about the professional athlete bloodlines with a baseball player and a fellow receiver. It's just a fellow receiver for Corey Davis. But anyhow, he's a really good option. You know, he could catch the slant and he'll take that the distance. So you get a very complete receiver. I think he's the most complete receiver. Yes, more complete than Mike Williams, who I know you guys are going to get on me for not putting him in these three that I'm looking at. But understand, I'm looking at it from a different perspective. And that perspective is from a deep threat perspective. And that's why Dede Westbrook has to be in this conversation. And you're talking about a guy, 17 touchdowns, a guy who can play inside or outside. I like some of the comments he had for Emory Hunt with Football Game Plan, and just talking about, you know, how much he likes to play both positions and how he was primarily a slot, but then they started putting him outside and he learned that, and he's become a very good option. So Dede Westbrook, you know, we're looking at guys that can hit home runs. Dede Westbrook, Corey Davis, we're looking at John Ross. These are guys that I think the Eagles should consider, you know, and really take a long, hard look at, because they do have the ability to score any time from any place. And that's what you want in a guy that you're going to call your vertical receiver. So those are some of the guys that I think that this team should look at. Another, just to throw a caveat in there. Hey, look, man, if Brandon Cook somehow becomes available and you could throw in, you could throw a couple draft picks their way. Obviously, he's a former first round draft pick. I believe it was 27 or 20 something, 20th overall, somewhere in that range. So obviously you're going to have to give up a good bit, but he's started to kind of lose his role in that offense for whatever reason. I didn't check the box score or watch the game that the Saints had this week, so I can't give you feedback on that one. But I will say that 2 weeks ago, he was not even targeted, and he was open at times. So they just have to get on the same page. But if he becomes expendable, that's something, if I were the Eagles, I would definitely look into it. I remember talking to him prior to the draft, and he, you know, we talked about Chip Kelly's offense, and he said he would love to have made it to Philadelphia. You know, obviously he settled into a better position with Sean Payton and the Saints, and they utilized him for the most part. So I'm just saying he's someone I would consider. You know, that's really the bottom line. I would definitely consider him. But either way, we know the position has to be addressed. So that's something that they'll need to continue looking at. I think Joe Douglas and Andy Wydell will be excellent options, you know, as far as guys that will be able to control the scouting department and get this Eagles team some good players. So we'll see what happens. I'm definitely looking forward to it. We got the East-West Shrine Game and Senior Bowl coming up next month. So things are rolling around and they're settling into place. And just be sure to follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, as well as the EaglesWire.USAToday.com. You know you got to follow this podcast and subscribe to it on iTunes, the Locked On Eagles podcast, as well as Audio Boom. We'll be back tomorrow getting ready to go. See what Jim Schwartz and Frank Wright have to say. They've moved their pressers to Tuesdays instead of Thursdays, so it's going to be an interesting conversation as well. You guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. As always, enjoy the show, and we'll talk soon.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.